If you'll open your Bibles now to 1 John, 1 John, the first chapter. I'm going to read the first chapter and then two verses into the second chapter as our scripture lesson this afternoon. Give your attention now again as we open God's word and read that word for our edification. This is 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of God of life. The life appeared and we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message that we heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We'll end the reading there, and may God bless us and teach us from this his own word. Our purpose, of course, this afternoon is to have communion. We use that term for the Lord's Supper, and it suggests the idea of doing something together, something that is interactive between us and God and also with one another. And to be able to enjoy this close fellowship with God is really an amazing thing. When you think about who God is, it's not something we should take lightly, certainly, but you think who God is: infinite, eternal, unchangeable, perfectly holy, perfectly good, majestic, awesome, all of these terms that we could use concerning God. His power is overwhelming. He created the universe with simply a word. Just to realize something of the greatness of God, and then to realize that he's willing to communicate and fellowship with you and me in a personal way, that we can feel and sense that we are in touch with God himself. I think that's really quite a remarkable thing. And not only is he willing, but I think we could go beyond that and say he desires fellowship with his people. Now, human beings are unique of all of God's creation. We were created in the image of God, which means we have a personality somewhat like his. We have the ability to ration or think rational thoughts. We're able to interact with one another, communicate ideas through conversation and so on. And even though man has turned away from God, even though we have sinned against him, he was willing to bring us back and willing for us to interact with him in fellowship. In fact, in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says this: God, who is faithful, has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. God has called you into fellowship. Now that's quite, I would say, a remarkable thing. And we get a sense of God's pleasure when we communicate with him and are in fellowship with him. When Jesus said to his disciples, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Eagerly desire your fellowship. Now we can't understand maybe fully what's all involved in that desire, but there is that desire to have that communication, that interaction between God and man. And today, as we think about fellowship around the Lord's table, we want to think in terms, I want you to fill your minds with that idea of fellowship with God in that observance. The great God of the universe has said to you, I want your fellowship today, and this is one means by which we can be very intimate and very close together. So consider, first of all, the privilege of fellowship with God. As John opens his letter, this little letter he wrote, I think he's overwhelmed to some degree just with the awareness that he has been in God's presence. He says, I saw him. I heard what he said. I even touched him. And the word touch there is kind of like, it has the idea of a blind man touching something. Now, when a blind man touches something, he's kind of really finding out everything about it that he can find through his sensory communication there. But John says, I touched him. This is the man who, it says, leaned on Jesus' bosom there at the Last Supper. And he goes on in verse 2 to say, the life appeared and we have seen it. We testify to it and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. It appeared. This has appeared to us. I think he's registering the idea that it was amazing for them to be on the earth when Jesus, God, actually came down in human flesh. He appeared, and he came to bring man back to God and to bring about a restoration of that fellowship. And therefore, John can go on to say, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus. Because he'd had that direct inner communication with Christ. Now, the word fellowship in this passage is the Greek word koinonia. And the Greek word koinonia is a beautiful word that talks about very close, intimate kind of fellowship. It's used by several words to try to translate it. One place it's called a partnership. This interaction between two people, as the Philippian church, I think, is where he used that to show how close their participation was with him as they supported him and so on. And it's this sharing of a life together. Koinonia has the idea of we share our lives together, a participation with one another. And here we are, sinners who have gone our own way, and people who are really guilty, stand guilty in the presence of God, and yet God made provision for us to come back and enjoy that koinonia, intimate kind of sharing fellowship with himself. And we share it also with one another. And this is what happens, I think, in the observance of the Lord's Supper in a kind of a special way. Because, again, on the back of your bulletin where this passage in Corinthians, it begins, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? The word participation is the same word koinonia. So in the actual sacrament, we are actually entering into this intimate, close kind of fellowship. Is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? It's a sharing of his life with our life. And it's kind of a mystical fellowship, perhaps. I'm not sure I could really fully explain what's involved in it. It's made possible, of course, by his redemptive work. But it's something we are able to enjoy, something we are able to enter into because of his love. Feel something of the warmth of the fellowship of God, the forgiveness of sin, the hope of eternal life, these things which are so precious to us, enjoying oneness with Him, to have His strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, gives me His strength. All of this is part of this participation in a relationship with Christ. And it's just a privilege. It's a privilege to be included in that, to have that kind of intimacy with God. When we lived back in Maryland, we were right on the edge of Washington, D.C., and Bill and Hillary were in the office, the White House at that time, and Lynn used to kid once in a while and say, well, they haven't invited us down for tea at the White House yet, and I don't think that invitation will ever come, but in order to have that kind of access or participation, say, with the President of the United States, it's not likely. We just don't have any reason to have that kind of fellowship with somebody in that position. But with God, it's different. And God, of course, is far exalted over our President in the United States. And it's by His initiative, as we were speaking earlier today, His initiative has brought us into that fellowship, and we have that relationship. We have access to the very throne room of God, and that's an incredible privilege. And if you know that this afternoon, if you know that experience and know that position that you have in Christ Jesus, then you realize you're a privileged person, a very privileged person to have that fellowship with God. Then he goes on to talk about sharing the fellowship. Certainly it's a privilege to have it, but you're actually sharing in it. And you see that in verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. Now the fellowship which he enjoys, where he has seen Christ and touched him, had that relationship with him, now they're sharing the message so that others can come into that same wonderful relationship. It's a relationship that's common to all of us. And because of that, we have a union with each other, a fellowship with each other, which is quite unique. Listen again to 1 Corinthians 10. Is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Now, it's talking about that interaction, the interrelationship, the sharing of this life that we have in Christ in that passage. In one sense, my relationship with God is a personal and private matter. I realize that. And that's good, but it's more than that. It goes beyond my personal walk with God because God brings me into a family, His family. And all of a sudden, I have brothers and sisters in the family of God with whom I can share because we are one body. We partake of the same loaf. We are sharers of the same relationship with Christ together. And that gives us a relationship with each other. It's koinonia. It's that interaction between us that is such a beautiful thing. And that's why the Lord's Supper, I think, is called communion. It's not a private thing. In fact, we discourage private observance of the sacrament, or say the minister just going to one person and having the communion. We want a body of people to go. If somebody is shut in, then we want several people from the body of Christ to go along, so that the sense of communion with the saints is very much a part of that. God created us, I think, to be social creatures. That is, we need each other. One of the worst kinds of punishment we can think of is solitary confinement. Stick somebody off there by themselves and don't let them talk to anybody, see anybody. Just be alone. That's very difficult. It's hard for us to be in solitary confinement. And that's why the church is so important, Because when we come to Christ and begin to know what fellowship with God is, immediately we become invited to be a part of the wider body of Christ, the family of God. And John says, we proclaim what we know of Christ so that others will come to have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father. So this koinonia is among us, but it's also certainly with God himself. And then there's a third thought here, and that is that there's a challenge in this fellowship with God. Whenever we come into the presence of God and enjoy fellowship with him, we can't help but realize that we fall short. And it makes me want to live a better life, a holier life, one more like my Savior, one more like God would have me to live. And John, I think, confronts that challenge that comes here in this fellowship in verse 5. He says, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. So if we're claiming that fellowship with God and with his people, which we really are, then that is a challenge to me to walk in the light, to not walk in darkness, to forsake whatever sins I know are present in my life, to be rid of those things, and to walk in newness. And here again, there's a parallel to the passage in 1 Corinthians 10. Listen to this. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. You see how the call of the sacrament calls you to a higher life. You can't do this and do that and be consistent, certainly. The sinful life or the fellowship of demons, whatever, is not consistent with a walk with Christ. So there's a challenge involved as we enter into this fellowship, just to realize that God is calling us to a higher life. And that's why, I guess, in the words of institution in 1 Corinthians 11, you have the instruction, examine yourself and then come to eat. So the examination is to call us again to a higher life, to call us to forsake any known sin and to be rid of it. It serves us to be more sincere, more dedicated in our heart and life, to cast away anything that's not pleasing to the Lord, which is a part of my life. And that's why the sacrament itself is called a means of grace, because the very act, the entering into this, calls me and helps me examine myself and challenges me to walk in newness. John goes on to say, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. So if you're feeling comfortable this morning and say, well, I don't have any really bad sin, be careful of self-deception. It says it's deceiving not to think you have any sin, because none of us have reached that point yet and won't reach it until the Lord calls us home and we're made perfect in holiness at that place. So what we celebrate in the Lord's Supper is that no matter what our level of growth is, and all of us come in kind of different places in the kingdom of God, we enjoy acceptance with God through Jesus Christ. We have that privilege of fellowship. And the first two sentences of chapter 2 really celebrate that wonderful truth. Dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. There's the challenge again, which the Lord's Supper brings to us. It challenges us not to sin. But it goes on, if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, and he's the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. Now, this is the key to our acceptance, obviously, to have Jesus Christ as our mediator. See how the two messages go together this morning? Christ, the mediator, is there at the right hand of God, interceding for us and telling the Father, I have paid for that sin. I have clothed that person with my robe of righteousness. He is accepted by you. That's what we remember in the Lord's Supper. Do this, Jesus said, in remembrance of me. And as we remember him, we're remembering all that he did for us, all that he has worked out on our behalf. So I encourage you today, enjoy the privilege that you have of fellowship with God, that he's granted to you through Christ. You actually can have intimate fellowship, koinonia, with the God of heaven and with his people. And then the sharing of that joy with one another. We need to do that more, I think, just to rejoice in God's working in each other's lives as we grow in grace. And then the challenge to leave all of our sin behind, to rise to a higher level of life. The sacrament does encourage us to do that. So may God use this sacrament today as a means of grace in each of our lives. Let's pray. O God in heaven, it is our great privilege to come into your presence as your children. You have allowed us to do that. You have invited us. You even say you desire to have us fellowship with you. And we thank you for the remembrance that you have ordained for us to be to us a sharing, a koinonia of fellowship, and also a challenge to live a higher life. Lord, all of these things are a blessing to us, and we thank you. Pray that you'll bless the rest of the day, bless the sacrament itself to us, we pray. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now, would you please take your Psalter and we'll sing together Psalm 24, Selection A.